Great to be here with you guys again. It's been a couple of years. It's what happens as missionaries. You come home every 4 years, it seems like, and we have more kids, and then they grow up, and I guess children, yes, you can go to children's church. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but if you want to stay, you can, I guess. Yes, you go away and you come back, and so my family sends their greetings. Our oldest is, though, in school, and so is our second oldest. They're both in school, so it's very hard to go away for a weekend and come back and make it on time, especially we live in North Carolina where the sun is shining right now. So, and I know the pastor's in California, so it's got to be sunny there as well. So it was, but it's great to be here in Michigan. I thought, man, why didn't I plan this trip in the summer? I mean, stepped off and it was really cold. I was like, I don't know if I brought the right jacket. But it's great to be here with you guys. If you want a new prayer card, we have them in the back table. And if you run out for some reason, let me know. I can send more. And in the earlier hour, it was really great to share with you guys what God has done in the last 8 years in Germany. We've been there since 2013. And it's been amazing to see how God has worked in those years that we've spent there. It's fun to be a part of that and celebrate it, and you guys are a huge part of that. We read in scriptures that Paul talks about the prayers of the churches being a benefit to his ministry, and how God, he's asking them that they would pray that the door for the gospel sharing would be open, and you guys have carried us in prayer through the years, and so we appreciate that so much, and it's a huge blessing to know that we have those prayers behind us and that support in ministry. And then I was able to share today a lot of the highlights that we've experienced in ministry. And those are fun to share, fun that you get to hear those. But the highlights can't be the main reason why I have joy in life. Might seem like that. We might think sometimes, man, I have joy because of these great things that are happening to me. I could be happy about it, but it cannot be my reason for joy, my foundation for joy. Often my joy for ministry in life is based on something that is temporary and often conditional. Does anyone else find their life like that? Something that's temporary or conditional is really why you're joyful. When ministry is good, I'm happy. As a pastor, my kids always know when things are going well because I'm like excited and things are fine, but they know things are not going too well in church or ministry when I'm kind of distracted and looking a little off. They're like, oh man, something's not right. When my kids are doing well in school, happy. I'm like, yes, all right. They're doing well. Their grades are well. It builds this joy in my life. When my football team's doing well, I'm happy. And I know as Lions fans up here, I'm sure you're like, we haven't had many of those days, preacher. It's all right. I'm a Redskins fan. Same thing. Yeah. Often those things, when my job is going well, I'm joyful. My marriage is going well, I'm joyful. And like I said, those aren't good things to be happy about. Yes, we're thankful when those things are going well. But often we would say those things are what make us joyful. My bedrock for joy. I'm continually learning this in my life, that those things cannot be my foundation for joy. There's something God has really been teaching me the last almost 2 years as we've experienced a pandemic in Germany, which has had massive lockdowns and conditions in which we can meet and different regulations that have been very hard for our church. And I'm learning that during this time that my joy has to be someplace else. And God brought me during this time to Luke 10. Now, when I read this passage, I keep coming back and asking myself, where do you, Richard Rudolph, find your joy on mission with Jesus? And often my answers would be all temporary things. I would like us to look today at the story here in Luke 10. If you have your Bibles with you, go to Luke 10. Jesus is talking with his disciples, and Jesus helps us see where to find our joy in life. Before I read this, I would like to pray and just ask God to work amongst us today. Because maybe you're here today and you're struggling with joy. Maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't know Jesus. And so I want to pray that God would work through his word and give us wisdom as we go through this. Let's pray quickly here. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for your word. It is truth. And from your word, Lord, we can trust you and know that you are good. We find life, we find joy, And I pray, Lord, if someone is here struggling today with joy, struggling today with life, struggling today with trusting you, or does not know you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that your word would open their eyes to how great and wonderful you are. Jesus, give me wisdom as I preach today, that you'd help me. Lord, be with us. And we just pray that your spirit would move in our lives and that we would submit to you and repent, Lord, and change our life continually to conform to the image of Christ. Amen. Let us read our scripture here. This is Luke. I'm going to start in Luke 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3 and then go to 8 and 9 and then verse 17. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" Verse 17. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Wow, what a first missions trip, right? I like that type. Jesus sends us out, two by two, and he says, "You're going out as lambs amongst wolves." Well, that doesn't sound too good, but you're going to go and preach the gospel and heal the sick, and they come back and they're excited, and they come back from this first missions trip, and "Jesus, even the demons are subject to us. This is great." I mean, I'd be high-fiving each other. I'd be excited. I'll tell you one thing. If my first missions trip over to Germany ever was when I was able to heal the sick, preach the gospel, and cast out demons, and I had video of it, I'd be pretty excited. I'd come. I mean, my slideshow would be awesome. Today you saw like a choir singing and kids ministry. I'd show the really good stuff. And I've had video, and I just want to be like, "All right, we're going to play this and watch this. Now watch this again in slow motion." And you'd be like, "Whoa, what a missions trip. I got to go on that missions trip with this guy. That would be fun to see. That'd be fun to be a part of. I'd be overjoyed. I'd be thrilled." And I think you would be too. And I would say the same things that his disciples said. "We have authority over these demons, Lord. Woo!" What a ministry top experience to have. When people come on my missions trips, they're like, "That was really hard. We just worked a lot and no one accepted the gospel that we try to share with people." I'm like, "I know, right? I mean, this is like an amazing time." And it's not wrong to be happy about this, what they're excited about. I mean, this is a cool thing to see, right? Well, let's see what Jesus says in response. Is he like, "Wow, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life"? Let's see what Jesus says here in response. Verse 18, 19, and 20. He says this, "And he said to them, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nonetheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" When I read this for the first time, I was kind of shocked, to be really honest. I've read this many times, but when I read this a couple months ago, I thought, "Lord, what?" I mean, they're trying to be excited about their journey, and Jesus comes in. Is he being a downer? Is he trying to shame them? Is he trying to think, "Wow, you guys are so great. Well, guess what? I saw Satan fall like heaven, from heaven, like lightning." All right, that's nothing. Is he trying to be like the one-upper? You know, the guy who always has the better experience? You know, "We went into we climbed the Alps." "Well, I've climbed Mount Everest." You're like, "Oh man, always someone has a little bit better experience than me." Is Jesus trying to do that? I don't think Jesus is doing that at all here. And I think he's trying to get our attention to understand something that is so great that he wants them to grasp. And he wants us to grasp this as well and to get our attention that we can have joy whether we are serving through great times or hard times. And that's what I want us to look at today. Today, if you're taking notes, we want to look at one reason each and every person here today can have everlasting joy, no matter what their ministry looks like, no matter what your home looks like, No matter what your marriage looks like, no matter what your job looks like, no matter what your service in the church looks like, whether you are serving Jesus in children's ministry for the last 15 years, whether you are on the greeting team and nobody thanks you, whether you do coffee every single Sunday for the last 20 years, whether you're on the cleaning team cleaning toilets and cleaning up stuff you never want to clean up, or if you're in the midst of a very hard season of your church or a great season, there can be joy today in our lives as we go home. There can be a bedrock of joy. And this is the reason. We can have joy today, if you're writing down notes, and go home with joy, number one, is because of our heavenly status. We can all leave today because of our heavenly status, and we can have joy. Jesus says, do not have joy because the spirits are subject to you, but rather have joy because your name is written in heaven. I mean, he's bringing them back to the real reason why they are there and what he's trying to explain to them. Jesus says, our joy is not based on wins and losses in life. Good times or bad times in ministry, or how you are serving, or what you are doing. If you're on the mountaintop of ministry, or if you're in the lowest part of the valley of your service for the Lord, in your life, or your marriage, or anywhere you are, our joy is not based on those things. Our joy is not based on how big our ministries look, or how important we look in our church, or in our service, or what we are doing on the outside, or in the inside of our lives. In this church, our joy cannot be based on how we look on that, but instead it is based on something so much greater. Remember, the disciples experienced a great thing. Now, were they wrong? Were they wrong to be excited? It doesn't mean here that we're not supposed to be joyful about people coming to Christ. You know, yes, we're so excited someone came to Christ. Don't be happy. Just be happy your name's written in heaven. No. Because we know in Luke 15 what happens, the same word rejoice is used when it says that the angels rejoice in heaven when a sinner comes to Christ. We should be excited about that. We rejoice in that. The whole book of Psalms talks about rejoicing in the Lord. Paul talks about rejoicing in our sufferings. We rejoice all the time in the Lord. But Jesus is telling them from this situation here as they come back with joy, he's trying to tell them, your mountaintop ministry cannot be the foundation of your joy. You can be excited, that's great, but don't let that be the foundation for why you're really happy today. Why? Because if our greatest joy and our bedrock and foundation for joy only comes from the result of fruit in our lives and ministry for Jesus, or the mountaintops of our Christian life, then our joy will always be conditional. If it's just from the fruit and the results, our joy will always be conditional. And that's not how it is as Christians. We would be fulfilling our joy with something that is just temporary. We would always be looking for the next high mountaintop experience, which would only be a temporary fill for maybe a week. And it would never fulfill our soul's desire and search for joy. It would never quench your soul's desire and search for joy that our soul has in it, saying, why should I be joyful today? Nothing good's happened. I've been doing this ministry for 10 years and nothing has happened. I can't have joy today. It would be like eating Cheez-Its for a meal. You're like, what are you talking about? Well, my kids have discovered extra cheesy Cheez-Its in America. I know all mothers and fathers of little children might know what I'm talking about, but we don't have those in Germany, so they have experienced Cheez-Its here, and they love them. My kids could eat Cheez-Its all day long. That's what they want to make their diet of. So whenever they're hungry, they're like, well, I'll just eat Cheez-Its. No, you can't have Cheez-Its. Now, as a father, it'd be easy to do that, but my wife steps in and says, no, can't just give them Cheez-Its all day. Now, the Cheez-Its, they're okay. They taste good. They're not a bad thing, even though my wife would say, actually, they're not, and she'd give me the reasons why. But Cheez-Its are nothing more than carbohydrates that when you eat it, and you eat it, I mean, you can eat a whole box, you'd be satisfied for how long? An hour? And then after that, the kids come back, and what do they say? I'm hungry. And I've done that sometimes. When dad's alone at home, I'm like, here's a box of Cheez-Its, do-do-do-do. eat it, and then see what happens. They come back an hour later. I'm hungry. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Got to feed you more Cheez-Its. You know, I put more on there. And that's often what my kids seek. Now, my wife is smart, and she says, our kids can't just eat Cheez-Its. They need to eat what? Protein. They need something that will sustain them, that will fulfill their hunger. Their search for hunger has to be fulfilled through a protein that's going to stay with them, so they're not going to say, I'm hungry 10 minutes later. So she makes me give them real food, like a good mother would do. Meat or beans or whatever that my wife has chosen. And often, we handle joy like this. Lord, I just want Cheez-Its. I just want the easy, the good things, the things that seem good in life. That's all I want. And I want to make that my joy. And the more I eat it, I think I'm going to be sustained and fulfilled. But guess what? If it's a conditional, temporary thing, an hour later, what happens? We're like, oh, I'm hungry actually for more joy. That really wasn't a joyful thing that fulfilled my hunger. Ministry highlights in serving cannot be based on whether or not we are joyful. And these disciples would go and do great things in Jesus' name. But if their only joy came from successes, guess what? They would all be very, very depressed in the end. If their joy just came from being successful in the highlights in life, they would be very depressed in the end, because almost every single one of them would face a horrible death for the name of Jesus. That's not fun. That's not in the midst of fun to be like, yay, I can't wait to be hung upside down on a cross. But yet, we can still have joy in the midst of those things. That's what Jesus is trying to teach these disciples. And Jesus is trying to open their eyes and say, the greatest joy we will ever have is that we have been seen by the Father, and not only seen by Him, but accepted by Him, and your name is written in heaven. So now your status has been changed from an enemy to a child. Amen? You were an enemy with God, and now you are a child who has a father. You are not an orphan, and you are loved and accepted. You have a relationship with Him. That is something that nothing on this earth will ever compare to. Your status as a child of God will be better than anything this world will try to give us as a joy in our life. And I promise you that because Jesus said it. This message means a lot to me because what we have experienced since March of 2020 in our ministry. And this is what God is trying to get a hold of my life. When our ministry and our church was going well, I was happy. Oh, we had a lot of people there. We saw people saved. We would have outreaches. We'd see salvations and baptisms and lives change. And we'd have a choir outreach and 300 people would come. Or we'd do a grill day church service and 100 people would be there. Be like, wow, these are the highlights. Yes, this is good. I'm happy, Lord. Joyful. Again, those are good things to see. But I had to retrain my mind, or the way I was thinking and really thinking, and how I was praying. I remember often praying, Lord, if we could just, in the beginning of our ministry, if we could just see one salvation, then I'd be happy. Well, someone got saved, but guess what? It couldn't be my bedrock for joy, my foundation for joy. Because why? Life moves on. And it was amazing. We rejoiced in that. But then I remember praying, Lord, if we would just see 40 people come to a church service, I'd be really, really joyful. Then I'll stop, you know, just give us that. And guess what? You did that. And then all of a sudden, did it fulfill my hunger for joy? No, I was still trying to search to have my joy fulfilled. And God was trying to show me these experiences, these highlights that you've had, Rich, in your ministry, and these lowlights that you've had in your ministry are going to come. And so then we had the lowlights. We've had people leave our church. We've had a church discipline people. We've had people angry at the leadership. You guys never get angry at your pastor, right? Well, they do in Germany. And they get mad at you. People fighting in the leadership team. That doesn't ever happen here, right? Like, never. Pastor, what church are you part of? I know. COVID restrictions. That didn't happen here, right? All these things compiling on, and all of a sudden there's no highlights, just lowlights, and you're like, Lord, where are you? I can't have joy in this anymore. I can't have joy in ministry. These are making me depressed. This is making me down. Maybe you feel like that right now. No highlights, just trials. Are you in that season of life? You're serving and you just see hardships. Your marriage and your children, which are ministries of us. I mean, we are called to have a discipleship relationship in our marriages and our children, and maybe it's no fruit right now. It's just hardship. You're thinking, Lord, I can't do this anymore. Nothing but hardships with my children and with my spouse, and I'm trying my best, and there's no fruit coming from what I'm doing. I'm praying for them. We're trying to do Bible study, or nothing's going on in the right direction in our marriage. The discipleship relationships we have or the outreaches we're doing at our church, they're not bearing fruit, Lord, like they once were. Where are you? We're trying to share Christ with our coworkers, and nothing is happening except hardships, and you're being rejected more than accepted. And you're saying, Lord, I can't have joy in this. Where are you? This is nothing but lowlights. No demons being cast out, but just a long season of hardships. Can I still have joy? And Jesus is telling them right here, the answer is yes. Whether you're casting out demons or not, you will have joy through it all. And my joy will be the same each morning and the same because the bedrock and foundation for our joy never changes as Christians. Our bedrock and joy for Him never changes because our names are written in heaven. And the foundation is so important. And that's where we start building on. The right foundation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Foundations are everything, right? In Kuza, we built this church planning center. Now, Germans, they build for the millennium. Americans build for the rapture. You get that joke? Americans, we think we build good buildings. Go to Germany. That thing's going to be there, like, into the millennium. Like, when Christ comes back, I mean, that thing's going to be there. They build buildings that last hundreds of years. Why? Because the foundations are made of so much steel and so much cement and so much rock. So when we were building this church planting center, we were laying this foundation, and I remember seeing how much steel was in it and concrete, and I literally thought, I think more is in this than the Statue of Liberty. There's so much steel in this building. This building will never move or fall down. It doesn't matter how bad the storm is. It doesn't matter if an earthquake comes. This thing is going to be still together in one piece, no matter what happens. Because why? The foundation is so, so, so strong. And that's how the gospel of Jesus Christ is in our life and should be if we're going to build our hope on that. The gospel is our foundation. It's everything. Because Jesus does not love us based on what we do for Him. But Jesus loves us based on what He has done for us. Part of that foundation. So I wake up in the morning and I say, there's nothing I can do today to make you love me more or less, but all my love is found because of the cross of Christ. That's part of my foundation. And you wrote my name in heaven, not because of what I ever did and my good works, but what? You wrote my name in heaven because I accepted your free gift of salvation based on what you did. That's amazing. In spite of all the bad things you and I have ever done in our life, Jesus came and lived a life on this earth perfectly so that He could die in our place. In spite of all of our sin, He sees us and He says, I want to die for you. And I want to love you. And our sins, they were so bad that Jesus had to go to the cross and live on, or die on that cross and experience the wrath of God poured out on Him that was meant for us. Me and you and all the bad things we've ever done. And it was poured out on Him. And it was poured out. And He went there willingly. And He still said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And Jesus willingly gave up His life, was nailed on the cross, died the death that was meant for each and every one of us here today. The innocent man, the God-man, Jesus died in our place so that we could have our sins forgiven. But it isn't just enough to hear this news. You have to accept this news as the free gift of grace and believe in it, this act of love on the cross, and say, Jesus, I repent of my sins and I want to follow you with my whole heart, mind, and strength, and I accept this gift and I want this relationship with you. So therefore, now I wake up, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstances around me, with joy, because why? I know when God sees me, God the Father sees me, He sees a son or a daughter. And he sees somebody and he says, I love you today, Richard Rudolph, because why? Jesus. And that's the gospel. And that's why that is the foundation of my life and my joy. And to know that my name is written in heaven today and there's nothing that can steal that joy from me. My ticket is purchased. My future is secured. And no matter what happens today, it can never take that away from me. Amen? We experienced some lockdowns, like I was saying, in Germany. And we missed two birthdays in a row for our kids. I mean, it was like birthdays planned. Nope, can't because of COVID. Oh, surely next year. Nope. So we didn't have any birthdays for kids, no celebrations. And that's kind of a downer for children. And so we said, when we go to America, we're going to go to Disney World. You know, we're going to make it up and we're going to go to Disney World. So what did I do? I bought tickets, wrote their names on those tickets. The date was secured. The park, the entrance fee was paid. And so that they knew my future, what that looks like. So guess what happened? When bad and rough things would happen to our children during those lockdowns or in life, you know what we would stop and say? I know I'm going to Disney World still. Doesn't matter. We're going to Disney World. The date is secured. The ticket is purchased. And no one can take that away from us. We're going. So something bad would happen. And my kids would say, but you know, it doesn't matter. Why? We're going to Disney World. They live like that with joy. They looked ahead to what that status was and say, my name's on it, the date's secured, ticket's purchased, I know where I'm going. Their joy was there before they got there. And I'll tell you, that's exactly how it is with us. Our ticket is purchased with Jesus' blood. Your name is written if you've accepted that gift. And the date is secured whenever he comes back and calls you home. And you can say, it doesn't matter what happened today. Why? Because my heaven is waiting for me in the future with Jesus. Amen? I can go through this. It doesn't matter what I go through today, whether it's a great thing or a bad thing. Why? Because I know on the other end, my heavenly status, when he sees me and I come to the gates, the nailed print hands of my Savior are waiting for me. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And he embraces me and he says, here's your name written in the book of life with my blood. And I did this because I love you. And I'm so glad you're here. I'll tell you, there's nothing greater than that. Is there any joy on this earth that can come close to that? No, nothing. And because our names are written in heaven, we know that that will never change. And that allows us to face the hardships with joy and peace. My question is, are you able to do that today? Are you able to do that today? Have you come to the point in your walk with Christ that the gospel and your future with Jesus and your present state is what Ephesians 1 talks about? Are you able to say, that's the bedrock for my life? Something that doesn't change? Or are you still trying to make your foundation temporary things that are just going to crumble when you try to build on it? Are you there today? Maybe you're here today and you just keep thinking, man, I keep searching those mountaintop experiences. I keep searching temporary things to find my joy. Would you come today to the realization and just say, Jesus, invade my life. Let me discover how deep your love is for me. Let me discover what it really means to be a child of God. I know I've accepted Christ, but I don't have joy in my walk with you. Would you show me how wonderful it is today to be a child of God? Would you ask Jesus to do that for you today if you're struggling? Maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Christ. If that is the case, there is no way on earth you can ever experience the joy that Jesus is talking about here until you come to him and ask for forgiveness of your sin and accept the gift of the cross by grace through faith. It's no work you will ever do to get that joy, but it's a free gift. And he's offering it to you, but you have to take the gift and accept it. And say, Jesus, there's no way I can do this on my own. Forgive me of my sins. And I want to be a child of God. There's no way your name will ever be written in heaven without the nail-pierced hands and his blood washing away your sin. And if you were here today, someone here today would love to talk with you, because life is too short to say, oh, maybe I'll make that decision later. Life's too real. And you want to experience the joy that we experience as Christians. That's why Paul, when he was in joy, said, I rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Robinson Baptist, God is doing great things all the time. In our Sunday school, I said, God is working through the unexpected. The bedrock of that, of our joy today, and we can say God is working through the unexpected, is because of the cross. And that's why we go home today with joy. So I pray that you would go home and continue to look at Jesus and say, Jesus, today, this is found only in you. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you are kind to us. We are thankful that you love us so much that even in good things, Lord, you're trying to get our attention and say, I'm greater. Your joy will only be found when I become your joy. And your status is really a child of God. Jesus, I pray, this is something I struggle with, and maybe someone else is here today too. I just pray we would ask for forgiveness and say, Lord, invade my life. May I find joy truly in you, so it doesn't matter what the circumstances are around me. I thank you for this church. I thank you for their dedication to you, Lord, following after you. We just pray that you would continue to bless this ministry tenfold, that they would continue to have a heart to serve you, Jesus. We thank you for that.